Hey everyone, and welcome to the Worcester Church of the Nazarene podcast. This week, we're talking about sex. It's pretty obvious that we live in a hyper-charged, sexually crazed culture, but sex was God's idea, and it is good. So why is our culture so screwed up when it comes to sex? This is episode 4 of Aim High with Pastor Joel Yates, titled, Surrender Your Sexuality.
We have been in a series entitled Aim High, and the series is based off the book Relationship Goals by Pastor Michael Todd. So a lot of the material that we've been talking through and working through, he writes about in his book, and we're putting our own spin on things and using our own illustrations and all that, but a lot of great material from him. Pastor Nathan led off the series, really kind of gave us an overview, but also talked about having a plan in our relationships, something that maybe we don't always think about, but he shared that with us. And then Pastor Nate, he was hitting second in the batting order, and he caused some of you to get a little bit nervous. Maybe actually some of you got a little excited when he said we were going to talk about the S word, but then he quickly transitioned and let you know that S word was about singleness, and a great message. And I've heard so much positive feedback from so many people how helpful that has been, and honestly, probably a long overdue message in the church, but that was a great message from Pastor Nate. And then last week, Pastor Andrew talked about relationship goals and about having that laser focus and continuing and perseverance as we press on towards those goals that God would have us place in our lives for our relationships. And regardless of what kind of relationships those are, it could be romantic, it could be friendship, it could be working relationships, whatever it is, talked about having those goals as we move forward in our relationships. So I'm hitting cleanup today and trying to think how to start this off. I think I'm just going to rip the Band-Aid right off. I'm talking about the real S word today, okay? So what you were all worried about that Nate was going to talk about 2 weeks ago, we're going to go to that today. There was a song, sorry, I'm an 80s kid, Salt and Pepper. Did that ring a bell? Yeah. Yeah, so if you want to get that song out of your head now, but we're going to talk about sex. And just for the record, it's Salt and Pepper. It's not pepper, okay? So if any of you want to say salt and pepper, no, get it straight. It's pepper, okay? We're going to talk about it in a little bit different context today, though, than I think they did in their song. But here in 2022, we are inundated with that word and with hyper-charged, sexually crazed culture. And if you didn't know that, you haven't been living in our culture. All the images and the thoughts and about sex and sexuality are all over the place. You can't watch a TV show. You can't open up your phone and scroll through a feed or anything like that without being bombarded with some sort of message in regards to that. It's all over the place, and if we're not careful, we can be in danger of finding ourselves being normalized to the ideas and behaviors about sex that are in clear opposition to God and His Word, and we can see some of the results of this sexual inundation throughout the world. You see young people hooking up just for fun outside of marriage. You see married people having affairs with someone they work with. You see people getting addicted to pornography, child molestation, people struggling with their sexual identity, and the list goes on and on and on. And none of these behaviors are fun or funny, and they definitely don't reflect the heart of God. So what does all this sexual activity produce? Well, it does produce pleasure, and sometimes that's part of the problem. That it's hard to look past that moment of physical pleasure to think about the reality that comes after. Pastor Michael in his book gives us a list of things that sound nothing like pleasure: devastation, broken hearts, divorce, single-parent homes, disease, abuse, inability to trust, anxiety, self-loathing, isolation, numbness, and even coldness toward God. Doesn't sound like a very pleasurable list. But after all that, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to say, but sex is a good thing. And the reason it is because God ordained it. God created it. It's his idea. It's a gift from him to us. Our first reference to that we can find in Genesis 1:28. It says, then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. So in the very first chapter of the Bible, in the very first chapter of God's word, we can see that he created sex and he commissioned Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. And it was for them to enjoy together in their relationship with the purpose of creating offspring to fill the earth that God created. And it's wonderful when it's inside the context that God meant for it to be in. Not only is it wonderful, it's powerful, really, if you think about it, so powerful that it can take distinct qualities of two different people and join them together to create life with its own unique DNA and purpose and personality. So the covenant of marriage is the clear container or context that God has created for sex. Now, some of you might say, why do we put so much emphasis on sex being within marriage? Why isn't it okay if just two people like each other or love each other? Why does it have to be within marriage? I mean, we don't hear about Adam and Eve having this ceremony, you know, where they would have had to get some animals to be their bridesmaids and their groomsmen. I don't know who would have stood in there in those places. And we don't hear about it. They went before God and he stood there in his robe and then afterwards signed a piece of paper and sent it to the clerk of courts to get notarized. I mean, we don't hear about it. It doesn't say the word marriage. But here's the thing. Let me go to Genesis 2:25. It says, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Since they are no longer two but one, let no one split apart what God has joined together. When you get God's word in you and you get in God's word and you really dig into it, you realize that there was no ceremony because God intended for that physical act to be what caused two people to be married. When two people came together to be one, that was a union that was to last forever. So within that covenant of marriage is where God intended for us to experience sex, to live out our sexuality. One man, one woman, in the context of marriage. We've added a piece of paper today and some legal things to go with it, but make no doubt about it. God intended it for it to be joined within that container. If you think about it, we know we can't put God in a box. We can't limit him. We can't understand all his ways. But at the same time, when we talk about sex and sexuality, there is a container that God intends for that to be in, that container of marriage. If you think about it like this, think about water. Pastor Michael Todd used this illustration in his book. You think about water, and you think about how positive it can be in certain instances, but think about it when it's not contained. Think about the flooding that it can cause, hurricanes, tsunamis. Think about it just in your home when it gets outside the pipes in your home and the damage it can cause there. Anybody lived through that where all of a sudden there was water in your home and you're saying, where in the world did this come from? It's supposed to be contained in those nice pipes that run through my home. But when it gets out, it can cause damage. It can cause destruction. Uncontained water can bring destruction and uncontained sex can bring destruction as well. When it's out of that container of marriage, it can become disruptive and creates death rather than life. And I'm talking about spiritual death, emotional death, even death to our confidence and self-worth, not to mention missed opportunities, wasted time, and obsessive behavior. God's not in a box, but he intended for our sexuality, for that wonderful gift of sex, to be in a container. I mentioned about how powerful it can be. But not just in the ways that I mentioned. One other way we need to think about the power of this union of man and woman is that it creates ties, it creates bonds beyond just physical. It creates ties and bonds that are emotional, and it creates ties and bonds that are spiritual as well. And that's because God intended for sex to be between a man and a woman for life. And so in that lifetime covenant with each other and with the Lord, there are spiritual bonds that happen between those two people. And that can explain why when we get outside of that container, when we get outside of the way God designed it to be, we might have a hard time getting away from a relationship, or we might have a hard time getting away from thoughts, or we might have a hard time getting away from, why am I feeling this way? And it's because we can still be tied to that person spiritually, because that's the way God intended it to be united with that person for life, and not for it to be trivialized, not for it to be trivialized or done in any other method. So we have to be very careful with our lives. Man, God has given us this wonderful, precious gift, and he wants us to steward it and use it in the way that he intended for it to be. So how do we live this out? If we had to title this message, we would call it Surrendering Our Sexuality. So how do we live this out in our lives? Some here today, you might think, I don't have any problem with sex outside of marriage. Well, it goes beyond just that, right? There's so many aspects of it that affect our lives. It involves more than just, like I said, sex outside of marriage. It includes surrendering all that we are, our entire being, to God. And isn't that our goal in every area of our lives? To be surrendered to him. And this may be one of those topics that's hard to talk about, hard to sit and listen to. But I just did a Google search to look for scriptures about sex. First list came up with 100 different scriptures just right off the bat. It's talked about a lot. It's a big part of our lives, and so we need to talk about it. We can't just keep sweeping it under the rug. We can't keep just pretending like it's this dark, dirty thing. No, it's a good gift that God's given to us, but we need to look at it from his perspective. We need to say, what are the principles in his word that can guide us and direct us as we live out our sexuality? Romans 6:13 says, do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. So let's look at that scripture in light of what we're talking about today, and how, when we talked about surrendering our sexuality, how does giving our whole body, our whole self to God look like? I want to look at some different aspects of that when it comes to our physical body. And the first place I want to start with is our brain. Everybody, if you're here today, regardless of what your spouse says, you have a brain if you're here today. Regardless of what your kids tell you, where they said you don't know anything, you got no clue, you have a brain. We all do here today. So we're going to start with that. It's something we all have in common. Everything that we do starts with a thought, right? Right? There's that first thought in our head, and sometimes we choose to act on those thoughts. Sometimes we choose not to. God's been gracious to give us a filter. He's been gracious to give us his word to know when we live out or act out those thoughts that we're having. But so in regards to our topic today, I'd ask, have you indulged thoughts that you could never righteously fulfill in real life? Are you dealing with thoughts over and over again that move you closer and closer to action that doesn't glorify God, or are they thoughts that actually take you closer to God? 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I have found in years of ministry that this might be one of the most difficult things to walk out as a follower of Christ. Yeah. I think so. It can be not always easy, but easier to control our actions. We know there are certain things we would just never do physically, but this idea of controlling and taking our captive thought can be one of the most difficult things we do as followers of Jesus. It sounds real easy in this scripture, right? Just take it captive. Just take it captive. I thought about bringing back, if you've been here for a few years, you might remember I did a message a while ago, and I used the Bob Newhart clip where somebody was dealing with something, and he's like, just stop it. Just stop it. It just sounds that easy, right? Just stop having those thoughts that don't glorify God. Man, if it were just that easy. Maybe I need to write a book called Just Stop It. But the word says we're to take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So what's that mean? How do we do that? Well, what that means is one, and again, that's why getting in the word, getting the word in us is so important. Because when those thoughts come, those thoughts that are not from God, they're from the enemy, that are making us think about things that don't glorify him. When those thoughts come, we need to be able to recognize first and foremost, they are not from him. And when we recognize they're not from him, then we need to take them captive by thinking about the scripture, thinking about his word, thinking about his character that contradicts that lie that is now in our head. We need to take those thoughts and we need to remove them and say, I know those are not from God. I'm taking them captive. I'm going to make them obedient to Christ by, I'm going to cast them out and I'm going to replace them with the word of God that contradicts that I know to be true, that I know to be from his heart of love to me because he wants the absolute best for me. That's what we do. That's how we do it. Philippians 4:8, and man, I've quoted this verse so many times to myself and to other people. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. When you don't know what to think about those things. If you get thoughts that come into your head that don't glorify God, think about something that you know glorifies God, and think about that. And keep thinking about it until the other thought goes away. Think about something that's true. Think about something in his scripture that is true until that other thought goes away. When I see some, I don't know, pick the example. Since we're talking about sex, I'm going to get to talking about our eyes here in a minute. Maybe this is a good transition. But I see someone, and maybe they're an attractive person, and my mind starts to go. I need to take those thoughts captive, and I need to remember, that's a child created in the image of God. And I need to honor them as such. And I need to think, you know, that doesn't honor my wife if I think about that lady in a certain way, because God says that we're to honor each other. And so there's all those scriptures and all those things that are right and true and noble and worthy of praise that I can replace those thoughts with. Yeah, so those thoughts, that's where so often it starts, but you might argue with me and say, maybe even before we have to talk about our brain, we have to talk about our eyes. Because oftentimes the things that we take in through our eyes are what create the thoughts in our brain. Right? If you have a habit of staring at things that don't glorify God, well, then what's that going to create in your thought life? Whether that's viewing pornography, whether that's watching TV shows, whether that's imagining things, we might call that the eyeball of adultery. The eyeball of adultery. Matthew 5, 28 and 29 says, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Now, I really hope that I don't see a lot of people at church next Sunday with one eye. I really hope that's not the case. But what I do hope is that we're willing to do what is necessary to keep our eyes from being gateways that the enemy uses to bring destruction in our lives. Tell God that you need his help to stop ogling or to stop bringing up bad websites, and I believe he'll help you. Job 31, verse 1 says, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman. Now, women, you're not off the hot seat here just because that says not to look lustfully at a young woman. It can be anything in our lives, right? And guys, oftentimes, guys get the bad rap. We're the only ones that struggle with it. But that's not always the case. It can come in a lot of different forms than just visual. It can come in book form. It can come in a lot of different ways. But as I said, Are we doing what's necessary? Are we doing what's necessary to control what we take in through our eyes? It used to be, if you've seen the movie Fireproof, it's an old movie. It used to be like for guys that were struggling with pornography, it was as easy, it wasn't easy, but as easy as taking the computer and throwing it out in the trash, right? It's not that easy anymore. It's everywhere. We have to be careful what we're taking in our eyes. There's some days I almost want to quit going to the gym. I always try and get in the frontmost row of the treadmills when I'm running the treadmill, and I am so thankful that they put TVs on those treadmills now, because who knows what people are wearing. Well, I know what people are wearing in the gym these days, but it's so good. I can put SportsCenter on, and I can just run, and I'm just looking at SportsCenter, you know. We have to ask ourselves, are we putting in place those boundaries, those things that we need to keep our eyes focused on Him, literally and figuratively? So we got our brain, we got our eyes. How about our ears? This is a fun one. I thought about playing the beginning of that song by Salt-N-Pepa, but the reality is that sometimes we're not even consciously aware of the things that we take in our ears, and you would go around the rest of the day singing that song, and I didn't want that to happen, really. I do want you to talk about sex around the table with your teenagers. That'll be really fun today, so do that. But what are we taking in our ears? I can remember years ago, dear Pastor Ron did a message, and he used an illustration in that message that he had been in a restaurant with some friends, and they'd been eating, and then he came out, and all of a sudden he found himself humming this tune or singing this tune. He's like, why in the world am I doing this? Well, he started really thinking about it. That was the song that was playing in the restaurant while they were in there. Even unconsciously, it had gotten itself into his brain and found its way to his mouth then to be singing it and humming it. So what are we taking in through our ears? How many of you have had a parent over the years say, turn that music off, don't you know that's from the devil? It's funny, and we joke, and I'm sure my parents probably said it to me. Mom and Dad, if you're listening, if you're online, I don't know if you ever said it to me, but you might have. We might go overboard with that a little bit. But there might be a little bit of truth in that, right? And maybe not just with music, but with whatever. Whatever media, whatever avenues we're using to listen to things, whatever we're hearing. We need to think about that as well. That's a very backdoor way the enemy gets into our lives, I think. Amen. Sometimes we can say, I can listen to that, it doesn't bother me, or I can hear that, it doesn't affect me. Really? So maybe we need to pare down that playlist a little bit. Maybe our iTunes needs to shrink a little bit, whatever it is. Maybe we need to replace some things with some more worship music or music that's focused on the Lord. But I'm going to ask you to talk with the Lord about that. I remember a day where I got rid of a bunch of music and might have went a little overboard because then I missed some of it. I don't know. But you can never go wrong with erring on the side of caution and saying, if this doesn't even come close to glorifying the Lord, should I be listening to it? Should I be hearing it? Should I be taking that in? Ephesians 5. Verses 18 and 19 says, do not get drunk on wine. We're not talking about that today. That's another message, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Pastor Andrew, I think this week when we're around here in staff, we should just talk to each other in songs. Wouldn't that be fun? Before I think, I got to think, okay, well, what I want to say, I need to remember an old hymn that has those words in it, and that's how I'm going to communicate today. I don't think that's what he's talking about, but continuing to pour into us God's word, his heart, what are we taking in through our ears? The next body part, how about our mouth? Are we a sweet talker? Are we a seducer? Do we talk dirty? Would God approve of what comes out of our mouths? Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. When I hear this scripture, usually I think about swearing. I think about just really rough talk, you know, things like that. But really, it can apply to what we're talking about today as well. Do the words that come from our mouth, do they glorify Him? Do they speak in regards to sexuality in a way that doesn't bless Him? Maybe we need to have our speech changed a little bit in order to continue to glorify God with our sexuality. And then you might chuckle when I say this, but what about our thumbs and our fingers? How are we doing with that? We spend so much time on our devices. Some use your thumbs, some use your fingers, but you get the point. How are we doing there? What kind of habits have we gotten into just doing this or just doing this? How many things do we bring up in front of us? How many messages do we send in regards to sex and sexuality that, again, are outside of that container that God intended for that to be in? Maybe we need to take a season off of some of the sites we go to, some of the messages we send, some of those online relationships that we have. Maybe we need to step away from those because our thumbs and our fingers have been leading us down a dangerous road. James 4, 7 and 8 says, "So humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world." Now, when God said, "Wash your hands," there, he might not have been talking about Instagram or Facebook. But it kind of works for us today to think about it in this way, is even those devices that we carry with us everywhere we go, can we say that we walk with clean hands and a pure heart as we walk this out in our lives? I want to encourage you today that no matter where you find yourself on this topic, to surrender unconditionally, and you won't be sorry. There's always a concern in doing a message like this, because there's kind of both ends here. There's kind of both extremes. You've got somebody that doesn't struggle with it at all, that just wants to tune out and doesn't really hear maybe what God's speaking to you, speaking to us. And then there's the other end where somebody's been struggling with a particular sin that just, they feel beaten down and broken and that there's no hope. But yet we have to get into God's word. We've got to hear his truth on these issues and these topics that we deal with on a daily basis. And we deal with this on a daily, hourly, sometimes on a minute-to-minute basis in our current culture today. Do you remember when your parents said something like this to you, or maybe you've said this to your kids? "I'm only telling you this because I love you. I'm only doing this because I love you." And oftentimes that meant you needed to stop doing something and they weren't in favor of you doing something. Well, God's word gives us directions and commands as well. And is that to make us feel like we're under the thumb of a dictator that doesn't want us to enjoy anything? No, absolutely not. He gives us his word like the word of a loving father that knows that his directions and his commands that he gives will protect and preserve the ones he loves from many heartaches, struggles, disasters, hurts, etc., etc., etc. The Bible says in John 16, 33, you will have tribulation. But you know, I just believe that a lot of these tribulations we don't have to have. A lot of these, we will have troubles. We'll have difficulties. But they don't all have to be self-induced or be self-inflicted because we're not doing what God says in his word. Yeah. That's right. I am sure, once again, mom and dad, if you're listening, I am sure that you tried to convince me of things that you knew were for my good. And I probably went the opposite way. Maybe it's just because mom and dad said so. And like we talked about before, they didn't have a brain, so why would I listen to them, right? No. It was out of that heart of love, that unbelievable, unconditional love, that they had the guts to stand up and not to worry about being my friend or worry about if I liked them at that moment, to tell me a truth that might save me in the end. Save me from a hurt, a physical hurt, an emotional hurt, a spiritual hurt. Or maybe it was just dumb and I wasn't supposed to do it. But it was out of a heart of love that they spoke that. My devotions right now, I'm reading. Well, actually, I usually listen to it more than read because reading's overrated. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. Read the word. Get it in you somehow. Keep praying for me. Thank you. Yes. But I'm in one of the more exciting, captivating books of the Bible where we're talking about all the sacrifices. I'm in Leviticus, and we're talking about all the, yeah, it is captivating, let me tell you. If you're not read it before, go read it. It's really good stuff. But it's referencing all the rules about sacrifices and clean living and all those types of things. And one thing that struck me as I'm listening to these things, I'm like, how in the world does this apply to me, God? How does this apply to me? Why do I need to read this word? What does this have for me? And in all those scriptures, it kept saying over and over, admit your guilt. When it was talking about taking the sin offerings and all the guilt offerings before the Lord, it said, take the offerings and admit your guilt. Sometimes we don't want to do that, right? Sometimes we want to pretend like it doesn't exist. I just cover it up. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to share it with anybody. And sometimes we're even so delusional, we think we're going to hide it from God, which, in case you don't know, that can't happen. But admit your guilt. Admit your guilt. And then move on. There's scripture that tells us about a woman that was caught in the act of adultery. And if you've been in church for a while, you're probably familiar with the story. And the religious leaders brought her before Jesus with the intent of trying to trap him or to get him to side with them. Because of what she had done, she was supposed to be stoned to death. And that was supposed to be okay. That was the rule. And so this woman's brought before Jesus. And it's amazing that there's no doubt she's guilty. There's no doubt of what she's done. There's no hiding it. She knows it. Everybody knows it. But the very first thing that he does is to show her grace. He steps in, literally and figuratively, between the religious elite and her, and he draws a line, and he says, "You that are without sin, cast that first stone. Go ahead, throw it." Let her have it. She deserves it. That's what the law says. But he shows her grace. And if nothing else, I want you to get that from my heart, from God's heart today. That as we talk about this topic, that can be very difficult, because it's one of those that I think affects, if not all of us, it affects a lot of us in one way or another. Maybe it's not adultery. Maybe it's not sex outside of marriage, but maybe some of these other ways that I talked about surrendering our whole body, maybe one of those ways has affected you. But here's what I want you to hear, and here's what I want you to know. God wants to show you grace. Jesus does not want to condemn you. He wants you to know that there's still hope. He wants you to know that no matter what, and when I say no matter what, I mean no matter what. Go check out all the ancient texts and all the ancient words. No matter what, you are not so far separated from him that his love can't find you. He wants to step in and he wants to offer grace. This is not an unpardonable sin. This does not mean you have to walk away from him forever. It means that maybe we've made a mistake in our life and Jesus wants to come and he wants to do a work and he wants to change us and mold us according to his way and according to his plans, not our own, so that we have hope even after all the junk. And here is also what a loving father does. He shows her grace. He says, who's here? Who condemns you? Where are your condemners? They're not around. And he says, I don't condemn you either. But then here's the line the phrase, the scripture we need to hang on to as well. He says, go and sin no more. We have to have that encounter with Jesus so that when he says, go and sin no more, when he gives us these scriptures that maybe make it difficult for us to walk day to day because we've got these urges and we've got these desires and we got these things that we're battling with, sometimes in our mind, sometimes in our physical body, but we're battling with it. We're saying, how in the world am I supposed to go and sin no more when these things just keep warring at me? And he says, because I'm here and I'm going to go with you. That's how we're going to do it. When he walks with us. And even when he walks with us, it can be a struggle, right? Can I hear an amen? Because we're human, we mess up, we screw up. I said yes to Jesus yesterday and today I did this. So I need to say yes to Jesus and help me more, Lord, and help me be more surrendered to you today than I was yesterday. We're human, we mess up. But he says, I'm gonna walk with you through it. So go and sin no more, but I am right here with you to be the strength that you need to not sin. I'm gonna be the strength you need to take that thought captive and to do it often enough, then thinking about things that are right and noble and true and praiseworthy, that becomes the norm instead of thinking about the junk that you fill in your mind with now. That's what he wants to do. He wants to walk with you. And some of you, when we're talking about this whole relationship thing, aim high, the very first relationship. We think of Jesus always being up there. Aim for him. We got to start that relationship with Jesus. That's where it begins. The woman that had been caught in adultery, I just love God's grace. She wasn't even looking for him. They brought her to him. They were bringing her right there to stone her, to kill her, to say, man, you are a dirty lady. You deserve this. They didn't even know they brought her to the very one that was going to give her freedom and she was going to give her testimony. And we're going to still be talking about it today. So when we hear a message like this, I know it is hard to be like, man, Pastor Joel just told me all these things I can't do, ruining all my fun. What's he know about me? No. First off, it's God's word. It's an easy out. Take it up with him, not me. But he doesn't do it because he wants to beat you down and he wants to take away the joy. Sex and sexuality is a gift from God. Hear me on that. It is a gift from him. And any gift from him is pretty stinking good. And he said, here's a gift. Here's the boundaries. Here's the container that gift will be most enjoyed in. If you step outside of that, that's not what I intended for you. That's not what I intended for you. That's not the best for you. As a parent, I come and I'm telling you this because of how much I love you. Because I want the best for you. Because my love is unconditional. That's why I'm telling you these things. That's why sometimes we hear these things that are hard to hear because it hits home. How did Pastor Joel know what I was going through this week? I didn't know. Somebody did. So the question to ask us this gift that God's given to us, this gift of sexuality, does it own you or does God own you? Does your sexuality own you or does God own you? The gift that he's given us, are we willing to steward it in a way that honors him, in the way that he designed it to be stewarded? He gave us a body. Give it back to him. You can't surrender it to him, though, unless you know him. Maybe somebody here today needs to say yes to Jesus. And if that's you, I encourage you, as we're going to open up the altars here in a minute. The team's going to sing a song. They're telling me to shut up because they're ready to sing. But maybe that's the first business you need to take care of, to say yes to Jesus. And all we do there is say, Jesus, I realize who you are. I believe in who you are. I receive you into my heart. And God, I just want to be close to you, and I want you to help me. I want you to help me walk out my life. I want to do it your way and not mine. And he'll be faithful. He'll be faithful to guide you along. But if that's you today, if you need to say yes to Jesus, we got people that would love to pray with you here. You can stop by the Connect area. If you're online, you can hit that Connect card. Let us know there. We want to walk beside you as you start that journey. But maybe you need to do that today. Whatever. I can't list all the things, and I can't guess all the ways that God wants to move and work in each of us today. But I believe he does. I believe he does want to. And so we need to ask ourselves, God, show me your plans for purity in me. Show me your plans for how to walk out my sexuality according to your word, according to your way. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I'm going to pray for us, and then the team's going to sing. And if you need to respond physically to this, if you need to come and pray, and I know after a message like this, nobody wants to go to the altar. Nobody. Maybe that's the act of humility, and it's an act of humility, trust me, I've been there. Maybe that's the very thing that God wants to use to break some of those ties, some of those bonds. Maybe that's the thing that needs to happen so you don't go out and by next week you're like, man, I'm still dealing with this. I don't know. You can do business at your chair, your seat, you can do business at home, but if you'd like to pray and like some help with that, we invite you to come forward. And then in a few moments, Pastor Andrew is going to come close. Well, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, to me. This is one of those topics that's usually not top on the list of wanting to preach, but I thank you for your faithfulness. And Lord, I pray that each and every one that can hear my voice today hears your voice as well, Lord, and hears your heart. That something like this is not meant to beat us down, it's not meant to condemn us, it is not meant to make us feel like we're dirty or we're worthless, but it's meant to come and share the hope that you bring. I pray, Lord, that we can all hear that, and that we can trust that you love us, that we can trust enough that you love us so much that we can step out in obedience to whatever you're calling us to, God. What you're calling us to, what you're calling us to stop doing, whatever it is, that we can trust you, that you're gonna help us, and you're gonna give us exactly what we need in order to carry that out. So I pray your hand, your blessing, your presence all over your people, God. Those that are here searching today that don't know you yet, God, may today be something that draws them in close to you so that you can do your work. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray.